2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son. So, of course, Timothy wasn't his literal son, but Timothy, from a young man, had been with Paul, and Paul had influenced him to grow spiritually. Timothy had a mother and a grandmother, Lois and Eunice, who were baptized believers. And yet Paul had helped him to grow spiritually. So that in that sense, he was like Paul's son. So if you make effort with people to help them to grow spiritually over the years, you become their father or their mother. And so you become, as it were, more wealthy, more rich in spiritual things because you've got a family. And when you see those people that you've worked for in the kingdom of God, your happiness in the kingdom of God will be even greater. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I remember you all the time in my prayers, night and day. Isn't that amazing? That he remembered Timothy every night and every day. So Paul was praying all the time. And when you read through all his letters, he says this to quite a few people. So his whole life must have been taken up with praying for other people. And that must be the same with us. He says, I long to see you. I remember your tears, that I may be filled with joy. So Timothy wasn't emotionally strong. He often broke down in tears. And Paul remembered that, and he wanted to be with him and to encourage him, even though Paul at this time is facing death in prison. He said, I want to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I remember the genuine faith that is in you, which was also in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in you as well. Wherefore, I want to remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you from the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So then we have been given a spirit. When we're baptized, we're given the spirit of God. And yet we've got to stir that up. We've got to use what we've been given. And so we shouldn't be fearful. And it seems that Timothy was a bit fearful. That's why Paul has to tell him in another place to not let anyone despise his youth, but not to be fearful, but to realize that God has given us his power. And so we can have a sound or a stable mind. Be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So maybe Timothy was like us. He was a bit shy to speak up and say, yep, I'm a Christian. To say that, no, this is the teaching of our Lord Jesus, of my Lord Jesus. And Paul says, don't be ashamed of that. Because he said, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see that we don't have any immortality within us, naturally. We don't have an immortal soul that goes on living after we're dead, just naturally. The only way to immortality is through Jesus. And to this, Paul says, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And it's because of that that I suffer all these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. That's the day of his return and establishment of the kingdom. So Paul had committed absolutely everything in his life to Jesus. He'd taken, if you like, the chance, I was going to say, but I mean, it wasn't a chance. He knew that this was more than just taking a bet, as it were, hoping for the best, hoping that it's all real. He knew Jesus. He knew Jesus was real, and he had staked everything in his life. All his life decisions were all based around that belief in Jesus and in the belief of what he calls that day, the day when Jesus will return, and that's how it should be with us. Hold fast the pattern of sound teaching, which you've heard from me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed unto you, you should guard through the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. Again, you see how the Holy Spirit is within a person. This is the gift, and it's the power of God, the power of Jesus, to be like Jesus, and in this case, the power to hold on. The power to hold on, as he says, to the things of the sound teaching. You know full well that all those who are in Asia have turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. So all in Asia had been poisoned against Paul. But when you come to the letters that Jesus wrote to the ecclesias, to the churches in Asia, in Revelation 2 and 3, quite clearly there were groups there who were faithful to Jesus. But maybe they had been turned against Paul. And they were still in fellowship with Jesus. So it's possible that you might have a really bad impression of somebody, which is wrong. But all the same, you'll be saved. And we should remember that if people get poisoned against us, that, okay, they're poisoned against us, but that's how it is. And that doesn't mean they won't be in the kingdom because they've turned away from us. The Lord give mercy to the family of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he used to seek me out very diligently, and he found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered to me at Ephesus, you yourself know very well. So Onesiphorus was not ashamed of Paul's chain. He wasn't ashamed to go into a prison, which would have been a rough and awful place, and say, excuse me, where's Paul the Christian? But the Christians are all going to be killed. They're awful people. Are you one as well? Yes. He was not ashamed. And as Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And he tells Timothy, do not be ashamed. And he says again in chapter 2, you should be like a workman that does not need to be ashamed. So then we should not be ashamed. And Jesus says, of course, that whoever's ashamed of me and of my words in this world, I will be ashamed of him when I return with all the holy angels with me. So then let's not be ashamed. Wherever we are, at school, in family, in the workplace, amongst people, don't be ashamed. We have nothing to be ashamed of, that I know him, and he knows me, and I'm one of his people. We should not be ashamed. It's not the same as being proud. It's just being confident, and being proud not of ourselves, but of him, and to never be ashamed of him and his words.